if you think about somebody sees a sign, they're driving around, they're going to Google the company and they'll find your website. If they type a keyword search in and they don't know your company name, but you're ranking for a blog and they click on that, like now they're on your site. If they see you on social, yeah, they see an ad, like everything kind of leads back to the website. And so when I think about it that way, it becomes this like 24/7 marketing and sales person working for you around the clock. Like somebody can find you at midnight, they're on their iPad, they're doing searches in bed, they find your website, right? And then now they can start to learn about you and they're getting a sense of who you are. And so it should present you in a very professional way. It should represent who you are and who you're aspiring to be. It should talk about core values, show your team, show off your projects, talk about your capabilities, answer all those questions, right? It does a lot for you. And so I really do think of it as the foundation.
Welcome to Talent Tackle Box. I'm your host, Ryan England. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the importance of a quality website for your business. Doesn't matter what industry you're in, doesn't matter what you use that website for, it is absolutely critical in your ability to perform and not only drive customers to your business, but also to recruit the best employees. Today, I talk with the CEO and founder of Builder Funnel, Spencer Powell, and he's got a unique perspective in that he is very data-driven. Not all marketing guys are data-driven. They say they are, but they don't spend a lot of time in the data. His approach and strategies to driving more consumer demand, more people to your website so that you can get more of the results you want is very unique, and I'm very excited about today's episode. Well, Spencer, welcome to the show. It's been, gosh, we were just talking about like 5 months since we got introduced. I'm excited that we're able to finally make it happen. I'm going to start off with the same question I ask everybody. What is the biggest myth?
Cool. Yeah, Ryan, thanks for having me. I'm excited as well. And yeah, I think in the land of like digital marketing and SEO, I would say that like SEO is not this like mystical voodoo magic.
No.
There's like some best practices, there's some principles, there's some stuff that Google tells us. Like, yeah, we don't know everything because Google doesn't tell us everything, but it's not what a lot of the SEO companies make it out to be, which is like they've got this magical answer and only they have the keys to the SEO castle or something like that.
Oh, so you mean Semrush is something that everybody gets to use, like these SEO tools?
You know, all the tools are out there. Yeah.
It's funny that you talk about SEO. And one of the things we talk a lot about in recruiting from my angle is everybody's like, all these job boards. Like, how do we rank better on the job boards? I go, you do realize they're a search engine. And just like every other search engine, you can optimize your ad to get it to rank well. And there's no like mystical, magical, like, here are the rules. Follow the rules. Don't do something dumb and you'll rank well.
Yep.
And I hear that's what you're saying too.
Yeah. And obviously like there's other factors and stuff like that. But I mean, everything that's like publicly known to all the SEO companies, like you can go find that stuff yourself by looking up all the data and the research. So yeah, I think that's just helpful to know for somebody sitting there thinking like, I went to this conference, watched a guy talk about SEO and it went way over my head and I'm super confused. So I need to go find somebody that has this magic answer. It's just not the reality. Yeah.
I love what Matt Cutts said almost a decade ago. He was the lead guy over at Google for a while. And he says, write content that people want to read and they want to share with their friends.
Yep.
And that's like the easiest thing. I'll never forget him saying that.
Yeah. Our North Star is really, if you think about what Google wants to do, they want to get people to the best information the fastest. And so when you think about that, it kind of flows down into all of those technical things like, why is page speed important? So your page loads quickly and the user can yeah. get to the information fast, right? And then same with like the best information. Well, what's best? It's relevant and it's good and helpful. And so like, what's the keyword term? And then, okay, is that relevant? And did it actually answer the question or get the, that's how you get to all those best practices of like headings and good information and paragraphs and keywords and stuff like that, is it really comes back to best information the fastest.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people, they complain about the search engines and the Googles and the Yelps and all this of the world because, oh, they just want to take my money. And I have to remind them, I go, no, they want to deliver relevant, timely content to their customer, which is the searcher. Yes, they monetize you, but if they don't have someone searching for information and they're not giving them good information, they're not going to come back.
Exactly.
And you're not going to pay them for access to no one. So it's like
they'll go use Bing. So yeah, they got to get people to the info they want. Otherwise, they're going to go somewhere else, like you said.
So you work with a lot of construction companies, mostly home builders, remodelers, high-end remodelers, and you help them with this whole process of being able to rank well. I would imagine when my wife comes to me, she goes, I want a new kitchen. It's not like I just pick up my phone. I'm like, I'll call our kitchen guy. Right? I got to go find someone. And so this is who you work with. You help them rank well. Tell me a little bit about that. And tell me a little bit about what you found to be some of the best things that people can do in this space to help them rank well.
For me, it always comes back to the searcher that we were just talking about, like the end customer and what are they looking for? So if they're looking to solve a problem and they need to buy what you offer, they just don't know your company yet, right? So whether you sell HVAC or plumbing or a kitchen remodel or whatever it is, you have a customer and you have a certain type of customer, and that could be a homeowner, it could be a commercial building owner, it could be an investor. You need to know who that person is. And then when they have that pain or that problem or that project or whatever it is, they're going to type stuff into Google. And so that's really what you're thinking about. And yes, there's the SEMrush, Ahrefs, like all the SEO tools. You can do all the keyword research, but the lens that I think a lot of people forget to like lay that over is, who's the person that's doing the search? Because you could go, like I had this good example recently, guys in LA area, but he mostly services the high end Beverly Hills and that sort of thing. And so he's like, well, I want to rank for kitchen remodeling LA. And I'm like, well, that's great. So does everybody. But do you know how many low end kitchen remodel searches you're going to get if you rank for it? Because you're going to get all of LA, the high end, the middle, the low end, if you're ranking number one. And that's going to be really competitive keyword. And so I think for me, it's always trying to start with who is that audience and then what are the keywords that they're searching for. Kind of a tactical thing to close that out is, what are the questions that you get in the sales process? Those are great pieces of content to start ranking for those questions, because if somebody's typing or asking that in the sales process, you know there's a bunch of other people typing that into Google.
Yeah, I love that. You know, we use that similarly for recruiting. On the recruiting side of things, 70% of job searchers do not start at Indeed. Contrary to what Indeed will tell you, guess where most of them start? On Google.
Google.
And what do? They type in the position that they want and jobs. They always just type in jobs. Sometimes people are like, oh, I want to rank for labor jobs. I'm like, you and everybody else looking for general labor. Like, let's start easier. And this is always my recommendations. Let's start easier. Let's just start with your company name, jobs, right? Like, let's start with that. Yeah. You should be able to get number one on that. And if you can't, we have other things we need to solve before we start going for more of these general terms. But it's the same thing we tell them. Like, what are the questions that people are asking before they go search? I love that advice. That's great. So they do some of this keyword research. They figure out what they want to rank for. How do they do this? How do they make that?
Yeah.
Besides higher funnel, right? Like that's the easy answer.
Let's just pick a term. A common one that we bump into is, it stems from a question. How much does a kitchen remodel cost? Like that's what people are going to type into Google, right? And so you may be sitting there thinking, well, I don't want to talk about costs. Like it depends, right? Like I can't just give an answer to that. But you can. And part of the answer is it depends, right? And so what you do is you title the actual title of your blog article, how much does a kitchen remodel cost in Atlanta, in Colorado Springs, in Seattle, wherever you are. So now you're keyword, but then you're relevant, right? Because we talked about relevance earlier, and that's where are you and where are you trying to attract this audience? And then you're going to write a really good answer to that question in a blog. And I'll go a little bit deeper because I don't want to just say, well, just write a blog about that. You want to break that topic down into subheadings. And I always think about it like, remember those English papers that we wrote where you'd have like your title and then your subheadings, and those would be like the way you'd outline your paper, and then you'd write paragraphs behind each one. And since it's online, we can include videos or pictures with that or links to other related articles as we're writing this content. And so you end up with a blog that's 800 to 2000 words, somewhere in that range. You've broken down the topic and said, well, a low-end kitchen would be this, a mid-end would be this, and a high-end would be this. And here are all the factors that go into it. And, you know, if you pick low-end finishes, you'll be on the lower end. If you have to blow down walls and like you pick super high, like that's how you get to the it depends. And then you can talk about it in ranges. But now that you've done this, you have really good information. Hopefully you've like compressed your images, you've made it fast, right? So now it's like hitting some of those technical requirements and now you want to promote it. I think a lot of people just hit publish, it launches and they're like, great, now I'm going to start ranking. But if you can share that with your email list, share it on social media, maybe boost that post on social media, maybe you drive some more ad budget on Google to that. Now it's going to get some traffic. And then if Google sees traffic going to it, and people are staying on the page, they're interacting, they're clicking, they go, huh, there's something interesting here. And then you'll start to move up in the rankings. And there's a lot more we could get into, but hopefully there was several tactical things within that bucket where you could say, okay, it's not just think of a title, write a blog real quick, and then hit publish.
So you can't just build it and they'll come.
Yeah, you can't.
If only were that easy.
There was one keyword I worked on early on in my career with SEO, and I worked on it for 2 years before we hit in the top three spots. And that was a competitive keyword and we had to work on it really hard. And so if I would have just posted and then left, we never would have ranked.
Wow. Okay. All right. So there's some work to be done. Now, I imagine some people are listening to this and going, yeah, but how do we use this in recruiting? So, you know, that I shared this with you earlier. My audience knows this. I think that recruiting is a marketing activity, which is why I love talking to marketing experts because you're in it, the thick of it all the time. How could we use something like this? Like, I love this SEO idea of writing articles, creating content that Google likes so we rank well. Could we use those same principles, those same tactics when it comes to helping us recruit?
Absolutely. And I would say like again, if you just go back to the beginning of what we started with in the first example, it would be who are we trying to attract? So in this case, it's going to be a potential employee. What are they typing into Google? What are they thinking about when they're searching for something? And their list of keywords and interests are going to be different than your customers, but it's going to give us the same types of things. So they might be looking for a certain type of job or a certain type of company that has upward mobility or certain flexibility or in a certain location or any of those types of things. But I actually think that in addition to that, your website and social media can play a pretty large role in recruiting in addition to the SEO piece, because I think a big part of it is like culture and core values and like what your company represents. Mm-hmm. And I think you can do that really well on social. You can share, you know, like, hey, at our company, we do the right thing. We're always learning. And you can go down that list of core values and then you can show them and demonstrate those things. And I think those become real differentiators when you're trying to attract talent.
I love that. And so I could picture someone actually typing in highest paying construction jobs.
Yeah.
And what you said earlier is I could actually write a blog article about that and break down the myths and share with them how come just because they're higher paying doesn't mean it's year round work. It doesn't mean that there's going to be stability or that it's going to be a great culture. And I could build content around that and then take that and go share it on social media.
100%. Yep, exactly. Yeah, you can address all those same questions or myths or concerns or whatever it is. And the best part about education style marketing, which is heavily connected to SEO typically, is that you get to show people what they don't know, right? Because you're in the industry. And so your knowledge is expert knowledge, but it's normal to you, right? It's what you know. And so it's just part of your day to day. But somebody that's outside of that, it's not normal to them. And so as you're writing these things, a lot of times you're like, this is silly. Everybody knows this, but really it's not the case. You know it because you're the expert. It just doesn't feel like you're the expert. So I think that was a big hurdle for me at one point, was really just recognizing like, oh, actually I spend all of my days and weeks in this. Like I know a few things about it and maybe I'm not the foremost expert, but I'm certainly more expert than my customers or anybody joining the team. They maybe don't know all the ins and outs yet. And so you do have a leg to stand on there.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Tim Ferriss said in 4-Hour Work Week. Like, you're an expert when you know more than 80% of the population.
There you go. Yeah.
And I always think about what are the five or six things that if I never had a client ask me again, I would be okay, because they're just dumb questions. Like, they're legitimate questions. And if all your clients are asking you, create content around it.
Yes.
And yet be silly, and you don't have to come across as this, oh, it's super complex and super difficult. The way you answer it, just answer it the way you'd answer it.
Yep. Just answer it with the truth, right? Because
stop turning away work, burning out your team, and working so hard. Learn about the proven process that businesses everywhere are using to save time, save money, and hire all the people they need. We'll train your team to implement and run this process in-house so you can grow as fast as you want. Book a call with our team at corematters.com.
It all comes back to expectation setting too. So when you attract these clients, you don't want to give information on your blog and then they come in and they're like, oh, this isn't going how I just learned how I thought it was going to go. Like, you have the opportunity to set expectations before they've even spoken to you. And then by the time they speak to you, those expectations get reinforced. And then they actually go into the project or they join the company, whichever side we're talking about. And then it's like, oh, this is what I thought it would be. And then boom, you've got alignment all the way through. And so oftentimes I talk to people about, I think marketing kind of sits under the entire organization across marketing, sales, operations, finance, like, because it does start on the front end, whether you're attracting talent or customers, with the education piece. And then when you go to sales, you want that aligned. And then when you go to operations, you're like, well, we better deliver on what we promised in marketing. Yeah. And if you do that, if you're just congruent, that it solves a lot of problems.
So you've spent a lot of time talking about content and creating content. And I have a question for you. This is super relevant right now. It's in all the news. Tell me, like, I'm listening to this, and if I own a construction company, I'm like, oh, I know I don't like to write. I'm not good at writing. But there's these new bots, these AI systems that the news is telling me how amazing they are at creating content. I would love your take on that, Spencer. What are your thoughts about the future of content as it relates to AI? And if I am a busy owner and I'm thinking, I'm just going to go to GPT and I'm just going to ask them to write this article for me, like, does that work? Can
yeah,
it work?
I knew you were going to ask this because it's all over everything right now, right?
And everything.
Here's my take on it right now. I do think that it's important to learn about these tools and use the tools. And I think the direction that we're going in the short to midterm is people using the tools. And that combination, right? Human plus AI is going to give you the greatest output. I think the risk of leaning too much AI, like you just said, like, I'm just going to go write me a blog on XYZ and it spits out a blog. And then you go make it a little longer and you give it a few prompts and you're like, cool. I think there's a couple of concerns, and I'm not going to claim to know what's going to happen or how this will evolve. One concern for me is that Google has always been really good at stomping out people that try to quote unquote cheat the system, right? So in the SEO land, it was like, build a bunch of links to your website. So what people would do is they'd go buy 100 domains, they'd spin up 100 websites, and they'd link back to their one site they wanted to get a bunch of links to. And then Google would rank it really high because they're like, wow, there's a whole bunch of links. And then they realized, oh, the quality of those 100 sites that are just spun up was low. So now, okay, these links are worth less. And then they eventually started penalizing those sites. And so that's my concern, is that they are super smart at that. They figure out a way to figure out, oh, this company just went to ChatGPT and started cranking out 100 blogs so they could rank. And we can see that it's AI generated. And again, I don't know if they're able to do that, but I would guess that they will figure out a way.
I haven't looked at it yet, but I saw an article that said there's a Chrome extension now that you can highlight the copy and it'll tell you the likelihood that a AI system wrote it.
Like, there it's already happening.
They don't write like a human. It's just, it's too perfect. I just hate to say it, but it's too perfect. Like, there's an element of imperfection when a human writes that makes you go, okay, that wasn't created by a bot.
Interesting.
We get a lot of people. So job ads are the SEO space in our world.
Yep.
Is writing job ads, and how do we optimize those? And we actually have some people like, can I just use ChatGPT to write my ad? And I was like, you could, but it's not going to be that different because it's still a robot. It's still a computer. And the whole emotional piece, that connection to your culture and to the things you were talking about, your vision, all that, I don't know that a bot's going to be able to figure that out for probably another decade.
Yeah, that's the timeline part of it that I'm unsure on, but I'm cautious in the short term because I would hate for somebody to just go do that and then get penalized, you know?
One thing I have found that I like using it for when thinking about my content is, hey, this is what I do, and these are the problems that we solve, and this is why customers come to us. Can you give me 10 article ideas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I found it to be really helpful in getting that creative process going. But when I ask it to write an article, I'm like, yeah, this is bad.
Yeah. I've seen some that come out like pretty good. But again, that's why I think it's human plus AI, right? Because, hey, if it can do 80% of the grunt work of like pulling some research, you know, getting the structure down, and then you have somebody that like a human editor going in and cleaning up and adding the voice and the tone and making. But I'm with you. I really like it for idea generation or even just like outline ideas, or like, hey, I want to write, or I want to rank for this keyword, give me 5 article ideas that use this keyword. Okay, now we're making some progress, right?
Yeah, like we had a statement we were working on. It was like 2 sentences long, and it just wasn't landing with the team. We're like, what's wrong? And I threw it into AI and I said, can you make this sound awesome? And what it came back with was just so over the top, but it gave me a couple of cool ideas. Like if we change this word and we tweak this section, like it, all of a sudden it got that creative process going if we got stuck, which I like. So anyways, I don't want to make this whole episode about AI, but I had to ask. We were talking about content so much. Let's go back to the website for a second. You do a lot of websites, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the world of marketing, especially, I mean, online, like where does the website rank? Is that more important than SEO? Is that more or less important than ads and social? Like how important is the website when it comes to being able to get business online?
I would say, I don't know if I would rank it like more or less important, but I would look at it as like, that's the foundation for everything.
Okay.
Right. And so if you think about somebody sees a sign, they're driving around, they're going to Google the company and they'll find your website. If they type a keyword search in and they don't know your company name, but you're ranking for a blog and they click on that, like now they're on your site. If they see you on social, they see an ad, like everything kind of leads back to the website. And so when I think about it that way, it becomes this like 24/7 marketing and sales person working for you around the clock. Like somebody can find you at midnight, they're on their iPad, they're doing searches in bed, they find your website, right? And then now they can start to learn about you and they're getting a sense of who you are. And so it should present you in a very professional way. It should represent who you are and who you're aspiring to be. It should talk about core values, show your team, show off your projects, talk about your capabilities, answer all those questions, right? It does a lot for you. And so I really do think of it as the foundation, because then let's say you have a pretty garbage website set up, and then you start running some ads to it. Like people are just going to bounce. They're just going to leave. They're like, oh, this is not what I'm looking for. Or I was looking for a higher quality. Yeah. I don't know about this company. Like this is a 2-page website, kind of blurry photos. I think I'm in the wrong spot. And so I think from that perspective, it's the foundation that you kind of build on.
So not to knock an entire industry, but I'm going to for a second, but it seems to me like the construction world, almost anything in the trades, like they have some of the oldest, most decrepit, most broken websites on the planet. If I were to just lump together an industry, now there are some outliers for sure. Why do you think that is? And what are some ways we can start thinking about the website to just really level up our game? One of the things I talk about is it's that whole idea, right? In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And if you look in construction companies, like if you were to just modernize your website and do some cool stuff SEO-wise, like you would dominate. But I don't see a lot of people doing that. Like it's very rare. Why do you think that is? And what can we help our listeners with to overcome some of that, the thinking around that?
Yeah, I've tried to figure this one out too, because I've noticed the same thing. A couple things that I've kind of come to, I think one is just, it is a very just like kind of old school industry. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think the reality of that is it was a lot of word of mouth, handshakes, like that style. And so there wasn't ever this like need, or I say need, but I think people just put marketing lower on the totem pole because they're like, hey, I just have this network and we get referrals and we do a good job. And then sure. I think that led to the second thing that I've noticed is in this industry, for whatever reason, doing no or little marketing is like this badge of honor. It's like I spend 0.5% of revenue on marketing, or like 0.25%, and I still do this. And I'm like, well, yeah, imagine if you spent 3%, like imagine what that could look like. And so I think those are the reasons. But yeah, I think what this industry does is super cool and super undervalued. I mean, it literally just builds the infrastructure of society across the board.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just been pushed down by tech and white collar jobs and like all the flashy stuff. But at the end of the day, like, we got to build stuff. We need the infrastructure. Like, that's still like, where do all these tech guys sit? In a nice cushy building that the construction guys built. So I think there's a way to kind of reframe that whole view of the industry and like how cool a lot of this stuff that's being built and constructed and worked on really is. And you can do that by representing your company in a very professional way. And it starts with the website and then kind of spreads from there.
Yeah. And that's on the customer acquisition side. It's incredibly important. And I just want to echo that on the recruiting side, it's equally as important, because just like you want to have as an owner, you want to have a cool website that you're proud of. Most of your employees want to have a cool employer that they're proud of.
Yes.
And if you look like you haven't changed since 1998 and you're still living on that old website that you got from GoDaddy or Wix, that free one, right, that you're holding on to, it's going to make it really hard when you've got some of these, probably even clients of yours, that have this really commanding web presence and the social media presence. Like, they are now your competitors if you're looking to hire tradesmen or a craft worker. And if you're not stepping up your game in the website world, those people are just going to turn a blind eye. They're like, well, I found your website, but you look like you're dead or dying. So I'm going to go somewhere else, which might not be true. You might be the most amazing company to work for on the planet, have the best culture, have the most fun, but you've done nothing to share that with the world.
Yeah, it's all the outside perception, right? Because if they can't see it, they don't think it exists. And Ryan, I wanted to add one more thing, because as we were talking, it just occurred to me, really, the tech and that industry, they've just done a better job marketing themselves to the younger generation. If we really think about it, like, go to college, you can get a higher paying job sitting behind a desk and do these cool, like, whatever it is, right? Like, there's tons of cool tech companies and they all have like their own mission. But if we repaint the picture of like, hey, you might not actually need to go get a 4-year college degree and go $80,000 in debt. You can actually go to a trade school and then come out, and actually within 3 years, you'd be making more than your tech buddies coming out of school. Like, you'll already have racked up 2 years of experience by the time they're graduating. And then like, look at all the cool stuff we're building and like, look what our vision is.
Yeah,
like, you just don't see that a lot. And really, that's an industry marketing play versus another industry. And like you just said, somebody wants to feel proud of the company they're working with. There's plenty of awesome companies in construction, but we're just not seeing that, and it's not visible. And so again, perception becomes reality. As the younger generation comes up, they're like, oh, I just want to be a TikTok star. I want to go work at one of the tech companies.
Well, it's interesting. I do a lot of research around the generations. And one of the things, so most of these construction companies are owned by boomers, right? Mm-hmm. And they're looking at, how do I get the next generation excited? And here's the reality of boomers. Almost every study will say this: boomers don't want to change. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to. Like, it's built into their genes, because the boomers were taught by their parents, get a good job, work for it for 30 years, get your pension, don't rock the boat.
Yep.
And then the young generation is like, rock the boat. I'm going to have 3 boats by the end of the year. Like, I'm going to rock them all.
I'm going to be jumping across them. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually would love it if we could rally and make the trades cool again, because that's really what it is that they're not cool anymore. Now, don't get me wrong, they're still cool, but the perception is that they're not. And I think the industry as a whole sitting still and becoming stagnant, for lack of a better word, is what caused a lot of this. But I just saw something just in the last week. And so this was Q1 of 2023, depending on when you listen to this. I just saw something that said college enrollments are down, apprenticeships are up by like 50%, which is just incredible. So I think finally getting the word out with guys like Mike Rowe and some of these, especially the Gen Zers that are influencers now, that are saying like, hey, look how cool it is to be a welder or to be an HVAC or something like that. I think that we're seeing some progress towards that. Like, word's finally starting to get out. But to our point earlier, I think that if you're in construction right now and you're struggling with recruiting or you're struggling with customer acquisitions because you're not standing out in a positive way.
I think so. Yeah. And I do think we are making progress, and I think it will just be like a battle, right, for the next several years, decades. And that's okay. Like, we can be a part of that battle and we can fight for our position in the marketplace. And yeah, there's great opportunities in this industry.
I love it. Well, Spencer, I've enjoyed the conversation today. I know we could have made it super technical. We almost went there for a second and geeked out on all of this stuff. But thank you for the insight. I think it was valuable information. So whether you're looking to just bring on more customers, maybe you're struggling in your marketplace, struggling with recruiting, it sounds like Spencer and his team can help you with that. So Spencer, if someone's listening going, hey, I want more information from this guy, I want more of his educational content, maybe even have him help me with some of this, how do people get a hold of you? And then also, you've got a giveaway for our listeners. So tell us about that.
Yeah, thanks for asking. Builderfunnel.com is the easiest way. Like, head over there, you'll find podcasts, videos, like blogs, however you like to consume content if you just want to learn more about this stuff or reach out to us. But we also have a cool website grader tool. You can just punch in like your website and email and it takes like 20 seconds. It'll spit you out a grade. It's very high level, but it will give you like a score on a few different sections, and you can see just like, hey, how is my website performing? If you want to get that, go to marketing.builderfunnel.com and then it's /remodeling-website-grader. So I know that's a little bit of a handful.
We'll get that in the show notes for sure.
Yeah. And you could just Google Builder Funnel Website Grader and the link will probably pop up as well. It's a good little tool that you can do a quick high level search on your site.
Awesome. Well, hey, Spencer, I've enjoyed our conversation today. Thank you for being on the show. And for those of you listening, if you want that website grader, we'll have the link in the show notes and all the information to get a hold of Spencer and his team.
Cool. Thanks for having me, Ryan.